Well, this Sunday is the Baptism of the Lord Sunday. And part of it, you sort of wonder, what on earth could we have to say about it? I mean, it's one of those things. And then I started thinking about it a little bit deeper and from a little bit different perspective, perhaps. And I came up with some sort of statements for us. And first of all, let's not lose sight of how extraordinary it was that Jesus was baptized. John, very much peculiar as he is, and John the Baptist is obviously a peculiar character. Now, eating locusts was not so unusual in those days, but I find it interesting that Mark and really all the gospel writers who mention John make it fairly obvious that he was a personage of some drama, to say the very least. But John is baptizing for repentance. And that's made clear both by John and then other parts of Scripture. And so why would Jesus need to do that? And that's sort of the extraordinary nature of it, is something that strikes us on the one hand, and then on the other, let's not lose sight of how ordinary this was either. Jesus came to earth that he might experience everything that we do. And as I've said before, the omniscience of God provides for the ability to know what we feel without going through it himself. But Jesus did it anyway. And if it wasn't for God, then who else is left? Well, it was for us. And so we have the two, in a sense, the two sides of Jesus' baptism, how extraordinary it was that the sinless, fully divine Jesus would go through John's baptism, a baptism of repentance. And yet on the flip side, Jesus, who came to go through everything we did, from the most mundane as an infant, and of course this is much on my mind, having his diapers changed, whatever they did at that time, learning how to go to the bathroom by himself, to the most amazing miracles that he did. I mean, Jesus came that he might go through everything that a human being could do. Baptism is something that human beings who are in a faith community that practices baptism, this is what they do, either as infants or as adults, really doesn't matter. And so Jesus' baptism is both extraordinary on the one hand and completely ordinary on the other. And it's another opportunity for us to grapple, if you will, with the mystery of the incarnation. There's another part of Jesus' baptism. We'll get to that in a moment. But it appears that this liturgical year, this lectionary year, year B, wants us to spend some time with the mystery of the incarnation. And I think I'm okay with that, because just earlier this year, I was struck with some new insights into the incarnation, something that I thought I had studied and thought I knew as well as I'm capable of knowing. Once you fence in the mystery, as I think I've used my theology professor's little statement before, once you figure out what the limits of our understanding can be and you work your way backwards, we try to understand everything we can about the incarnation. And we think we know, and we sum it up with, well, it was fully human and fully divine at the same time, gave up some divine prerogatives without losing his divinity in itself, and became as human as the rest of us while still being uniquely divine. And there, okay, we have summed it up. There, that is as good a description of the incarnation, I think, as we can get. But when we start actually grappling with it, when we start actually thinking about it and looking at some of what it says for our relationship with God and what it says for God's incredible love for us, it becomes considerably more. It's one of those things that, and I can't remember the exact context where I first heard this little analogy, but it works out really well. It's one of those things that it's the difference between having somebody explain what it's like to get kicked in the stomach and actually getting kicked in the stomach. Until you actually spend some time thinking about some of these things and actually trying to understand what it might mean, it's just a thing we know. But then we start pondering, we start thinking that Jesus, who was aware of who he was, we don't know how all that works, that's part of the mystery, but he was aware of who he was, and yet he chose to go into the river and be baptized by John. Not because he needed it, not because he needed a baptism of repentance, but that we would always know that Jesus did what we do. That Jesus came to earth that he might know in a way that we can understand, that he knows all we're going through. Because the theory of omniscience is all well and good, but it doesn't have much, it doesn't provide much comfort for us. At least it doesn't for me. And there's something fundamentally different about omniscience providing God's ability to know what it means to suffer, know what it means to be joyful as a human being. Obviously, God's omniscience provides for that. But it's not the same for me, and maybe not for you either, as knowing that Jesus, as a human being like me, with a physical body that takes up space and bumps its knee and all the rest of it, that God in the form of Jesus knew what it meant to suffer and to be joyful, to be bored, to be excited, to be tired, to be well rested, to be all of the full range of experience of humanity. Jesus knew it. And the fact that that experience didn't add anything to the omniscience of God, because you can't add to infinity or you can't add to the ultimate knowledge, doesn't change how God looks at us, but it sure changes how I look at God. The incarnation reminds us at a visceral level, at a level of feeling, at an emotional level, that when we look through Scripture and it tells us we need to do these things or not do those things, or we need to think this way or not think that way, we know that it comes from a perspective of the inside, not just the outside. As I was thinking of preaching about Jesus' baptism, the thing that I found interesting, and you'd think by now this would have struck me a long time ago, but it didn't. It struck me this week, proving once again that any time you think you know everything about anything, you might want to think twice. Jesus' baptism also refers to the baptism that Jesus brings. It says it right at the end of our Mark reading. The last verse, verse 8. I baptize you with water, that's John speaking, but he, the one who's coming, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And that's why some of our hymns this Sunday are Holy Spirit hymns, because when I thought of Jesus' baptism, it wasn't just the baptism that Jesus received. It's the baptism that Jesus provides. The Holy Spirit has always been with God. The Holy Spirit did not spring into existence at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has always been engaged with us from the beginning of time, when the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters and was part of creation. So it's not that the Holy Spirit suddenly appeared. But we don't come across the Holy Spirit in this way until Jesus arrives. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, this new relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, appears with Jesus. And so Jesus' baptism, it's a play on words, like Jesus the possessive, Jesus' baptism, is about his own baptism and its simultaneous extraordinary and ordinariness, is also the baptism that Jesus provides for us. We heard about it, and there's the difference between the two in the Acts reading, where Paul encounters these people, asks about their baptism. They said, well, we're baptized by John. What else is there? Can't be any other baptism. Once you've been baptized, you've been baptized. Why would you need to do it twice? John says, well, but there's another one altogether. With Jesus came a new relationship, or a new potential relationship for all of us with God. A relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit in a new way. Not a new spirit, but in a new way. Jesus' baptism. On this Sunday, when we remember the baptism of our Lord, when we zero in on another aspect, perhaps, of the incarnation, as we take comfort once again from the reminder that Jesus experienced life as we do, not in the details necessarily. He never drove a car. He never had to deal with some of the frustrations we do, but we don't have some of the frustrations he did. So I think it all works out in the end. He lived a human life, a full-ranged human life. And from that we take a particular kind of comfort and we get some insight into God, to be sure. But with Jesus, we have the possibility of this new relationship with the Holy Spirit as well. Jesus opened the door in a new way for a new relationship with God, which I think is just an extraordinary thing. That Jesus' baptism isn't just the baptism that he received, but it's the one that he then provides for us all. And we can get all excited about what that means, and there's been lots of conflict over that and all the possibilities. But at its essence, what it means is that we can have the fullness of the Holy Spirit within us. And that's what the baptism that Jesus brings. Not a new baptism with a different kind of water. Not the same as anything before, but something new. And it's the Holy Spirit coming within us, making us into new people in a new way. The incarnation brought so many things. And it's, well, the fact that we can sum up sort of the look of it in such a short phrase, fully human, fully divine, doesn't mean that we can't spend the rest of our life figuring out what that means. Some of the most important things we say or hear are very short. And I suppose you could look at it as just summing something up, but when somebody says, I love you, you can spend the rest of your life figuring out what that means. When somebody says, I do, you think you know what that means, but it means so much more. The incarnation, God made flesh, means so much more, perhaps, than we'll ever fully be able to grasp. But what we can take from it are the things that we see in Scripture. A God who loved us enough to be just like us, so we would know he knows us. And on this Sunday, the baptism of our Lord Sunday, we remember that Jesus didn't just go through baptism as we do, but he also provided for another baptism, that the Holy Spirit might be with us in a way that the Holy Spirit had never been with us before. This is a good opportunity for us to revisit our own baptisms, if we are so inclined, over the next day or two as we think about this, whether we were baptized as infants and then confirmed those vows as we did so later through confirmation, or whether we were baptized as adults, whatever it might be. Baptism means a lot to us. The fact that Jesus went through it enriches our own experience. And as we think of our further experiences with God, putting them in the framework of baptism, every time we've had that new, enlarged view of God, it's another experience of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of whom Jesus brought. So in these days of, well, I wouldn't want to be baptized in a river today. I think you'd just get bruised if you tried it on a day like today. As we think of what those people went through back then, baptism and apply it to our own, we think of all of these things coming together. Let's remember that Jesus' baptism is extraordinary and ordinary, and also for us.